What up, what up, what up, little people, big people, all people. If you hear the sound of my voice, that means you are listening to another episode of Buffed Up Sports, available on all major podcasting platforms. If you want to financially support the show, go to buffedupsports.com, scroll down to the support tab, and become a supporter today, because there's so much more on the Buffed Up Sports website that you need to be checking out, including the episodes, the social media platforms, and the podcasting platforms that you can listen to the show on. So make sure you go to buffedupsports.com to check it out. My boy Mondez will be joining us in a second, but we got so much to talk about with him. I mean, we got the NBA trade deadline. What did the Pistons do? We got boxing to talk about, because of course, when Mondez come on, we got to talk boxing. And then we got the WNBA offseason, all these trades and the free agency signings. And then we got the Lions, you know, gearing up for their offseason. And of course, the Super Bowl is coming up. Speaking of Super Bowl, I mean, we're going to talk about the Super Bowl a few times throughout the episode. But, you know, the homeboy Usher is performing at halftime. You know, I got my Usher tickets. I just have to flex that real quick. The reason being, because if y'all know me, y'all know I got like a bucket list of people I wanted to see in concert, you know. And there's about two more artists and slash groups that was left on my list, because I've knocked out Mary J. I've knocked off Snoop Dogg. Didn't get to see Michael, but of course that won't happen now. So I got to see Bobby Brown, the New Edition, Ludacris. You know, I've knocked out a good chunk of names on my list. There was two that I still needed to conquer, and that was Usher and Earth, Wind & Fire. I got my Usher tickets officially. Hey, Usher doing the halftime. I'm going to see him in person at LCA come September. And I just wanted to let Asia Wilson know she ain't the only one. I'll take Usher over Chris Brown every day of the week. And I'll tell anybody that. So that's my debate to get y'all started, because I know some folks got a different take on that. But since I was talking about Asia Wilson, we got to talk about the WNBA. Asia Wilson's teammate, Candace Parker. Candace Parker is coming back to the Aces, returning for another season. I thought she was going to retire for a second. She said, nah, coming back, baby. Bet. There's a lot of offseason moves. We had Skylar Diggins and Nneka Ogumike going to the Seattle Storm. We got Natasha Cloud leaving the Mystics to go to the Mercury. We got Brittany Griner returning to the, well, at least expected to return to the Mercury. The Atlanta Dream? The Atlanta Dream? Ariel Powers out of, you know, shout out Michigan real quick. Went to Michigan State, went to Country Day High School. We got Ariel Powers, you know, Michigan rep going to the Dream. We got Tina Charles, former league MVP, going to the Dream. We got Jordan Canada, who's always been one of my favorite players and who's somebody I think is very slept on, going to the Dream. And then we got the Sun returning their key players. Between, we got Breonna Jones and DeWanna Bonner. Jonquel Jones is going back to the New York Liberty. I ain't even talk about Kalia Copper getting traded from the Sky. I didn't even talk about that yet. She going to the Mercury too. Doggone Mercury, Natasha Cloud, Kalia Copper. Kalia Copper and Sophie Cunningham on team together. Woo. But yeah, it's a lot going on in that WNBA, boy. But as things stand, what teams do I think will be the ones to watch out for? Of course, I got to go with the Aces. I think the Storm should be considered a super team now. I think the Liberty are still a super team, technically. The Aces, hey, I know the Tate, they didn't come together, so they were more built, but they were built into a super team because, you know, they drafted so well. Not so much as free agency and trades like the other super teams in the league. But yeah, the Aces in the mix, defending champs. But I keep telling everyone, my dark horse is the Atlanta Dream. The Atlanta Dream is my dark horse. Watch out for them. Alicia Gray, Ryan Howard. Let's see what Haley Jones and Nas Hillman can do. Oh, man. Oh, man. I'm ready. But all right, let's get Mondez in here. All right, Mondez, I got to bring you in, though. We got to talk.
What we got to talk about?
We got to talk Lions.
Right.
You know, hopefully we a little more calmed down this time.
Yeah,
we got to talk Lions. Yeah, see, okay, that's good. We got Lions, Pistons trades, boxing, especially on the boxing. So, but let's. Hey, real quick, how you feeling, man? How's life?
Life been better. Super Bowl weekend. It's gonna hit me on Sunday because that should be us. But other than that, life been all right.
Yeah, man, I remember like when the game when we first lost. I said I ain't watching the Super Bowl. I knew I was. It was just I was hurt.
Yeah.
Like, who not gonna watch it? You know what I'm saying? Like, what else you gonna do on a Sunday night? You know? Who you got?
Chiefs, Mahomes, the GOAT, the greatest to ever touch a football.
Hey, I'm with you. That man is Brady 2.0. But he gonna be 1.0. Give him like another decade. For real. You can't bet against that dude.
I can't. It's gonna come down to who got the better quarterback. And that's not even a question.
I'm about to say, we know who that is. Nah, I got the Chiefs too. But nah, man, we got to talk about our beloved Lions here. So the Lions are keeping both their coordinators, Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn. That's a huge win for the offseason. That's probably the best way to start an offseason after that tragic, tragic loss. But stop talking about the loss. Yeah, we bringing back our coordinators. So that's one thing figured out as far as next season. You know, we don't have to have any fresh starts too much. Mm-hmm. The GM Brad Holmes talked to the media after the loss, and he said he feels confident. He pretty much agreed with, you know, a lot of people saying, like, even though this was our best season, the way we went out wasn't a great look, but he wants to be back next year. He feels he has a team capable of doing such, being back in that position next year as far as being a Super Bowl contender. So the fact that our GM is confident, that's a good thing. We got our coordinators back. Now it's a matter of what players are coming back. Out of the Lions players who are up for free agency, name one who you would want to be back on this team for the 2024 season.
CJ Gardner, I think so. Our secondary already weak as it is. And I feel like he's definitely one of our top DBs. So I think it's important to bring him back and build some more players around him in the secondary.
Yeah, see, I was between CJ and Jonah Jackson. I mean, CJ, you pretty much just explained. The secondary is boo-boo, as we all know. I mean, that was our biggest weakness all season. But then with Jonah Jackson, he, you know, one of our linemen, and we had one of the best linemen in the league, offensive linemen that is in the league, if you ask me. So,
yeah.
It's like, do I really want that core group to break up? No. So I really can't decide, do I want Jonah Jackson back or do I want CJ Gardner back? But you know what? And then the other thing is CJ was hurt this year a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But in the games he played, he was an impactful player.
Those big fellas are really important. And they kind of forgot about that. I actually chose the linemen because we had a good core. And a good line could take you very far, as they show. Regardless of your pass game, regardless of who your running back is, a good line can change the whole offense. Hopefully, we get both.
That would be great. But I think I'm about to flip because you started off saying CJ and then you went to Jonah Jackson. I started off thinking Jonah Jackson. I'm leaning towards CJ because you got to make your weakness better.
Yeah.
The line, offensive line is already pretty solid. We got to work on what, you know, you got to upgrade, which is not so good right now. So, I mean, you could pretty much assume free agency in the draft. Definitely cornerbacks are going to be a key thing to take. But, yeah, man, I'm going to switch it up. I'm going to go with CJ Gardner-Johnson, man.
Can't go wrong either one. We need both. We need to at least get one of those guys back and build around whoever we lose at.
Yeah. Like you said, though, if we get both back shooting even more, that would be great. Another free agent I want to talk about real quick, Josh Reynolds. Are you bringing Josh Reynolds back?
Yes. He's not a priority, but I wouldn't mind bringing him back. We can't act like he ain't have a good playoff
run. There it is. I just need you to say that. I just needed the people to hear that real quick.
Well, he had a good playoff run. This dude was getting touchdowns every playoff game. He had one bad game. We can't knock our line down when he had his lowest. Like, we get valid. It. He blew the season a little bit, but
valid.
He also contributed to getting to that point. And it's football at the end of the day.
He not priority. I agree. He not. If the right, if the money is right, I'm all for it.
Right.
The money gotta be right though. That's key. That's key.
Don't overpay this man.
Don't overpay Josh Reynolds. So now I want to switch gears to the NBA / the Detroit Pistons. Before we get to the Pistons, I want to get your opinion on this thing going on with the NBA as far as the 65-game rule, which is in order for a player to receive the awards like MVPs, Rookie of the Years, Defensive Player of the Years, all team NBA All-First Teams and Defensive Teams, you get the gist. They have to play a minimum of 65 games. Because the league did this, try to avoid, you know, all the players resting and all that. But yeah, this year has been a problem because you've had players like Tyrese Halliburton, who's balling, but he's on the cusp of not getting an award. Joel Embiid is definitely the front runner for MVP, but he's pretty much out of the running now because he's been injured. So how do you feel as a fan of the game? Do you think that's a fair rule or do you like it shouldn't be that?
I feel like that's a super fair rule. And we got to stop babying these athletes. These athletes are making millions. They should have to go to work to make their millions. They should have to go to work to get the extra bonus for making all NBA. They should, like, I don't think that don't even sound right. What other industry do you not go to work and still have guaranteed opportunity to make a lot of more money? Like, it's life. That's what I call it. That's life.
Because the players are, I get why the players are upset, rightfully so, because they're like, oh, if we don't get the threshold of games, then we don't get the, because, you know, for example, if you win a certain award, then you get the supermax in your contract and all that. So, yeah, like you said, more money and all that. So I get it. You like, dang, they taking away my money. But like you also said, if you go to work, you get paid millions of dollars. Me and you, we not seeing millions of dollars. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And we go to work. So, watching it. The Pistons. NBA trade deadline was yesterday. Made a bunch of moves. In fact, the Pistons was the busiest team of trade deadline week. So, I can't even count how many trades we made. I can't even count how many players came in and came out. But with that being said, what do you make of the Pistons moves? Are you just like, you good with it? You bad with it? It is what it is. Like, what's your take right now?
It is what it is. We got nothing back. We traded nothing. I just feel like we did nothing.
Hey, you know, I've seen, you know, it's been about a day now, so I've seen a lot of discourse on Twitter. You've had people very upset. Like, oh, why did we do this? Why did we do that? You've had people like, oh, that was a great move. Like, we going to be all right. And then you got people pretty much like me and you, like, the season of bust, it is what it is. Like, I'm not too high. I'm not too low. It's just,
it is what it is.
My thing was, I guess this one, I was content with everything because it's no secret. The season has been so bad that you knew you wasn't getting no game changer. That was just out the question.
Yeah, we didn't have nothing to offer.
You didn't have anything to offer, so you wasn't going to get anything in return. So let's just start off with that. I don't know. If you were going to make a game-changing move, then you were about to say goodbye to Jaden Ivey, Asar Thompson, Jalen Duren, or even Cade.
A draft pick.
Like,
and we going to have a top three draft pick.
We getting the top pick, so you were saying goodbye to something. Mm-hmm. Very valuable if you wanted a game changer. So we in the boat where our players are so young, that wasn't the move. So yeah, man, I didn't care too much. I was just like you said, it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So now let me ask you this.
What's up?
Hypothetically speaking, a lot of people think Troy Weaver might get fired from the Pistons after this, you know, season, right?
Right.
So, with that being in mind, would you have rather him make the moves, trying to make do of what he can, and potentially, but knowing he's potentially doing these moves to save his job, or would you have rather him just stay put, you out of here after this season anyway, don't make it worse, leave the mess for the next GM? what would you have rather, like, what was your take?
Well, I don't think he could have made it worse by any means.
You like, say that, but then every year we get worse.
I don't think we could have got worse than breaking the all-time losing streak record.
Hey, last year I said the Pistons won 17 games. It can't get no worse than that. And what happened? So yeah. I stopped saying that. I stopped saying the phrase, oh, it can't get no worse, because I've seen it definitely can.
No, I don't have a problem with him making any moves. You never know. We could have grabbed something that you get lucky with. We got to change something. The team, the roster we had, not good enough. The roster we got now, still don't think it's good enough. But change has, it gives us a chance.
Yeah, it definitely could be a momentum swinger. Hey, if we're being honest, the Pistons have won the last two, won back-to-back games for the first time since October. So, hey.
On the road.
On the road. So, that's something to keep in mind. But I kind of agree with you there as far as making trades, because I did say there was two things I wanted done once that losing streak started. I said there's two things we got to do. A, we got to at least make some kind of trade. I don't even care who or what we get. Something just got to change.
Yeah.
Second thing, which is what we about to talk about, I said Killian got to go. I don't care if he get traded. If I was hoping it didn't have to go to the offseason where we just don't bring him back, or I was like, we could cut him for a lock here.
Right.
So when I got the notification that Killian Hayes was cut, not happy to see another brother go down. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, it was long overdue, man.
It was long overdue. We got robbed by the fact that we drafted him. So him getting cut, I don't really feel anything towards it. I feel like it was the right move for sure.
So you feel it was the right move? Because my thing was, Killian has had his chances.
Right.
He just requested a trade request when he gets benched. But I was like, dude, you've had 4 years of chances. You haven't improved on anything. And then to make it worse, I think he got humbled yesterday, truthfully. I really do. Because you mean to tell me 29 other teams didn't want you? Nobody was. We couldn't. Somebody tweeted it and it was, I laughed, but it was true. They was like, we couldn't even get a ham sandwich for him.
I think I agree with you. He got humbled. Because the fact that he had the audacity to request for a trade, like he was James Harden or somebody, and everybody's about to come looking for him. He deserved to just get cut. Like, you want to be gone, just leave. We don't need that. We already trash. You trash. We might as well just part ways.
It was best for every. Hey, I'm not even gonna knock the brother too hard. He might go somewhere and baller. I honestly don't think it would happen. But yeah. Let's say it do. Good for him. But yeah, him in Detroit, it just won't work. It was time. Yeah. How would you feel? You busting your butt at work, and you got somebody next to you who be on games, you would want them gone too, right?
Yeah.
Even if it is your boy, it might be the person that you crack jokes with on the shift all the time. But at the same time, if they making your job harder,
he gotta go.
And I think
these athletes are working just like us.
I think the Pistons players feel that exact way right now. They might be cool with Killian off the court, but they know dang well on the court, he ain't it.
Yeah.
That's just factual. But now we got to go into boxing.
Boxing.
Fury Usyk, Tyson Fury, Alexander Usyk, undisputed heavyweight title fight was about to happen, next weekend, right?
I believe so, in February.
Yeah, it's about it. Well, we ain't getting it in February. I think they said May. But long story short, Fury got a cut. Look, let me do air quotes. He got a cut in sparring because, you know, conspiracy theorists out there saying I was old. At least the video of it that got leaked. But long story short, man, you think Fury on game or?
No, I don't think
he legit.
I think that was a legit cut because he is known for getting cuts around his eye and they showed proof. Now, whether it was that old or not, I don't see why they would lie about that because we're going to see some type of proof, like, in the upcoming months, like, during the press conference or something. Like, it's due to be some type of, like, mark right there still. Because that was a deep cut.
It was.
But as long as they already rescheduled, so I don't got a problem. At least it wasn't, like, too last minute. We got to we got like, it was a few weeks out, so I'm not too upset.
My only thing is, it just had to be Fury.
Yeah. Yeah.
I already don't care.
We already knew it was going to be anybody. It was going to be Fury.
Because Usyk, I ain't going to lie, Usyk was on some games where he fought Dubois, and he took that body shot and played it off like a low blow. That was crazy, but Usyk typically do come to fight.
Yeah.
Fury be on game. He don't want to fight. I don't think he want to fight no more.
I feel like this, if he wins, I can definitely see this being his last fight in his career.
I think he doing it for the checks at this point.
He is.
I don't think he love the sport no more. But see, somebody who's doing it for the checks, that's a bad thing, because now you setting yourself up for some kind of danger. Boxing not the type of sport you could just do it for the checks. So now we got to talk about these lighter guys.
These who?
The lighter guys.
All right.
140s. Because your boy Teofimo Lopez in the ring last night. How did you feel about the fight?
I feel like Tio styles make fights. My opinion on Tio hasn't changed. He got a problem with people who makes them come to him. If you can make Tio come to him and get him frustrated, you got a good chance of winning. He had problems with Ortiz. Ortiz, I feel like he could have pulled it out if he would have just closed a little bit stronger. It was a close fight. I think he still could have got the decision, maybe a draw. But if he would have closed it out, I think it would solidify his victory. But good job by Tio by closing strong. Styles make fights. I want to see who he matches up with next. And that's it.
Let me ask you, did you score the fight?
No, I didn't.
But you said off the dome, you felt like Ortiz could have pulled it out.
Yeah, off the dome, because regardless of what happens in the beginning, if you don't close out strong, you shouldn't win the fight. Because like, that's your fault. You can't blame the judge.
Yeah. And see, I talked to you before we recorded, and we talked about the fight last night, and I called you, you know, I'm like, that was a robbery. Because I had it 115-113, which is close on paper. Yeah. But I was like, it's the way Ortiz won the first five rounds. And I'm like, you going to tell me he only won like a few more, you know what I'm saying? The rest of the fight, like, yeah. I'm like, man,
yeah, it just didn't sound right.
It didn't sound right. So I'm like, nah, that was a robbery in my opinion. And then you made the point of, you already the challenger. You know you the B-side.
For sure.
You got to finish strong.
You got to.
So I don't know, man. I just, when they said the scorecards, the one score was like 117-111. I just knew Ortiz won at that point.
Yeah.
So when they announced, and still, I'm like, come on now. 115, if they said 115-113 first, also the fact it was unanimous, I was like, okay. I said, if it's unanimous and Ortiz got it.
Yeah.
Then I hear 115-113. I'm like, I don't know. But that 117, ain't no way. How you tell me Lopez won 117-111? What fight was you watching at that point?
Well, I think it would be great for boxing to let the judges get an interview. Like, what goes through their mind. And I feel like that would pull a lot of attention, like on social media. But I don't know. Maybe one day they'll do that. But I feel like that they need to, because a lot of these scorecards need to be explained.
So continuing on the 140s, we got, you know, just announced Devin Haney defending his belt against Ryan Garcia. Who you got?
Oh, I got Devin boxing his head off. But don't sleep on Ryan, because styles make fights. It's boxing. Styles make fights. Ryan is a little flat-footed, but he's quick with his hands, and he's long, just as long as Haney. So it's interesting to see how they both adjust to that. I do think Ryan will land something eventually. He's bound to land something. I just want to see how like Devin reacts. But I think Devin will win, and I feel like he'll be competitive early, and late he gonna like start dominating the rounds.
Haney on a different level, I think, right now than everybody. That's my take. Okay. I don't know, man. It's just something about him. Like, I told you this also before we started recording. I was like, somebody said Haney's the greatest of all time. I was like, all right, now, hold on.
Really?
Hold on now. He ain't Floyd. But low-key, if you look at Haney's resume.
Yeah.
He, out of the current fighters, that is, his is probably the closest to Floyd right now.
No, I say he got the... he has the best resume, him or T.O. But I'm going to go with Haney because T.O. does have a whole loss.
Before I get you out of here, is Shakur Stevenson retired?
Shakur Stevenson is officially retired as of Twitter, via Twitter.
How long that going to last?
I'll say about 2 months.
Okay. As long as we on the same page. I'm like, when I seen it, you know what's funny? I ain't see not one graphic like on ESPN talking about congrats on a great career.
Yeah.
I didn't see no breaking news. It was just like, people saw that tweet with, I'm officially retiring. Look, like you said, they shook their head and went on about they. Look, I've seen it and I just kept scrolling. I'm like, he ain't retired.
Yeah, it's really sad that what these people would do for a little bit of attention. And I love Shakur. I think he's a great fighter. Right. But, like, what was the point of that?
He is not retired. But, nah, anything else you want to say before we get out of here?
And Super Bowl this weekend. Any final predictions?
I think,
like, score, the way it goes.
Can I be real with you?
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a blowout.
Ooh.
I do. Some tells me blowout.
Separate late or early?
Early.
Mm.
Early. Because the 49ers, I mean, let me put it like this. The 49ers, in my opinion, they don't deserve to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And not only just saying that as a Lions fan, let's look at the Green Bay.
They are.
Hear me out. Before you even get to the Lions, They shouldn't even play at the Lions because the Packers should have been playing the Lions.
Yeah. So you said they luck ran out.
Like, I mean, the Packers beat the Packers. The 49ers didn't beat the Packers. You know what I'm saying? The Lions beat the Lions. The 49ers did not beat the Lions.
Yeah.
Their luck has ran out. But on the flip side, you got baby GOAT, Patrick Mahomes. You got NFL ratings with Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift. So the script and the fix is already in over there.
It is.
And then let's add this to it. Patrick Mahomes, this is the first playoffs he's had to go on the road. Okay. They doubted him saying, oh, he's never won a home or he's never won a road playoff game. He goes into Buffalo against Josh Allen, gets the dub in a game that he wasn't expected to win. The betting odds was against him.
Mm-hmm.
Boom. He goes into Baltimore against who just won his second MVP, Lamar Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
Betting odds against the Chiefs in that one. Boom. He beats the Ravens. The betting odds are against them in the Super Bowl.
And they betting
against
not
Patrick Mahomes.
If you know football, you're making money right now.
Who bets against Patrick Mahomes?
A loser. A loser.
But nah, man, appreciate you coming on. Hope you have a good one, my brother.
You too, man.
Appreciate it.
See ya.
And there you have it, folks. But before I get you out of here, I gotta say thank you all for listening. I hope you come back to hear more episodes. And if you can, please subscribe, leave a rating, leave a review, please, because I love to hear the feedback. And if you love today's episode, send it to a friend. To keep up with my life in the podcast, go to buffedupsports.com for the links to my social media pages, the podcast episodes, and find out ways to financially support my show. Because, you know, I wouldn't mind a little ching ching on the side, you feel me? Anyway, now, with that being said, let's just remember to follow these words. Spread love, keep your chest out, hold your head up, show off them pretty teeth, and don't you worry about a thing. Until next time, y'all be good out there, and God bless you all. Peace.